Just a little over 36 years ago, it was my privilege to attend the ordination and installation service of Elaine Tweed's brother-in-law in Denison, Kansas, and the Reformed Presbyterian Church there. 36 years ago, and he's still there. And I haven't forgotten something that Dr. Robert Copeland said in his charge to the congregation. He charged the saints of the Denison, Kansas Reformed Presbyterian Church not to offer the prayer which goes like this. O God, you keep our pastor humble, and we'll keep our pastor poor. I haven't forgotten that. It doesn't surprise us, I'm sure, that one of the rules that John Owen gives for walking in fellowship with respect to the relationship between the flock and the shepherds is that the flock supports the shepherds. In other words, as he puts it, pay the pastor's salary. Now, I can preach a sermon like this because I only have one more Lord's Day. But it's important, isn't it? For a healthy, growing congregation following the Lord's leading, to be about the business of supporting shepherds. So it shouldn't surprise us that we're going to direct our attention this morning to the next to the last chapter in Paul's letter to his son in the faith, Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and we'll be considering verses 17 through 22. You'll find that on page 1265 in the Bible there in the pew. We pray that the Holy Spirit not only enable us to hear, but that He will enable us to have this, His Word, written upon our hearts so that we will follow the light that it sheds on our path as the flock of God's sheep. Hear then, 1 Timothy 5, beginning with verse 17. For the elders who rule well, let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching, word, and teaching doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain. And the laborer deserves his wages. Do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. In the presence of God, and of Jesus Christ, and of the elect angels, I charge you to keep these rules without prejudging, doing nothing from partiality. Do not be hasty in laying on of hands, nor take part in the sins of others. Keep yourselves pure. Thus far, the Word of God. Amen. The Apostle Paul gives us three things regarding the flock's responsibility to their shepherds. We'll spend most of our time on the first, But indeed, there are three responsibilities the Apostle Paul sets before us in these verses. And I've come upon three words to help us understand those responsibilities, and they all begin with the letter P. The first one, the responsibility that we have as a congregation to shepherds, and you've already guessed it, I'm sure, it begins with the letter P. It's the word pay. We, if we're going to be supporting shepherds, need to pay shepherds. That's what we find, isn't it, in verses 17 and 18. That the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in preaching word and teaching doctrine. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it treads out the grain, and the laborer deserves his wages. Now we know from the context that the word that is translated elder isn't speaking about those who are growing older, as we all do, but it's speaking about those who are in the ordained office of elder. And it's the transliteration of this Greek word that it's translated elder that we have our word presbyterion, the presbyteros, the presbyteroi, the presbyterian. And therefore we have as our form of church government the Presbyterian form of church government. We are the what? Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. We have on the local level a session that is comprised of elders, of shepherds. Regionally, we have a presbytery that in our case is comprised of two or three shepherds from each of the congregations that make up the presbytery of the Alleghenies. And then we have the synod. That synod is also made up of two or three shepherds from each of the congregations that make up the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. And I would ask you to pray. There are four such shepherds who have applied for visas, and they have failed their first two interviews. Pray that they are able to pass their interview and are able to join us. And I'm not going to say from where, because I'm not allowed to. It could become public if someone listens to the sermon. The word that's translated rule is a compound Greek word, and it literally means stand before. Let those elders who stand before us well, let those elders who lead us well. In Titus chapter 3 and verses 8 and 13, the word is translated devote. Let those elders who devote themselves well to shepherding the flock be worthy of double honor. Indeed, those elders who know how to lead we the sheep to those green pastures and those quiet waters. Those shepherds who lead as the one in Pilgrim's Progress to the celestial city. They are worthy of double honor. It makes sense that we honor all who are called by the congregation to serve as elders, that those who do so well enjoy double honor. So there are those who would translate the first four words of our text, the excellently ruling elders. The Apostle Paul doesn't stop with simply reminding us that the excellently ruling elders are worthy of double honor. He adds an especially clause. He says, especially those who labor in preaching, logos, and in teaching, didaktos, teaching and word, doctrine and word. And here is where we have the practice of paying me. Commonly, I'm referred to as the teaching elder, and those who are not before us opening God's word because they've been laboring in word and doctrine so that they will be able to preach and teach, the ruling elders. Then Paul says this, for the scripture says, and he takes the reader to Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 4, for the quote concerning the prohibition to muzzle the ox when it's treading the grain. And we can picture that in our mind's eye, can't we? There the stalks of grain are on the ground, and here are the oxen trampling over it so as to separate the grain from the stalk. And God says when the oxen is doing that, the oxen is not to be muzzled. The oxen, as the oxen is doing his work, is allowed to eat the grain as the oxen wants to eat its grain. And I thought about that. How does that apply to me today? And I thought, well, as I visit the members of the congregation, it's nice to know that there are often treats there to feed me. You don't muzzle me when I come, but you usually say, would you like something to eat and drink? Well, that's probably a little far-fetched, but when the sheep have the shepherds in their midst, one of the things we do is we offer them food. But then he says, the scriptures say the laborer is worthy of his wages. There's no place in Genesis through Malachi that the scriptures say the laborer is worthy of his wages. This is found in the Gospel of Luke. It's found there in the 10th chapter and the 7th verse. And it's there that Jesus says, of the 70 whom he's sending out on that evangelistic mission, the laborer deserves his wages. Isn't this an incident where the Holy Spirit, moving in Paul's heart as he pens these words, is able to say, the scriptures say, before Luke is written, so that you and I, when we're here reading this, we can say, oh yes, the scriptures say, as they record the words of Jesus spoken to the 70. This passage is indeed to us as much as it was to those who didn't yet have Luke in written form. Because many things Jesus did, but what he did and what he said that have been written, particularly in the Gospel of John, why are they there? John says they're there so that we may come to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, that's an aside from what's going on here, isn't it? But the point is this. those who labor in preaching and teaching are to be paid. Jesus says it, and he says it on the basis of the revelation of God in the Old Testament. Now, how is it that a congregation is going to be able to pay the shepherd a fair wage for his work? Now you know why we read Malachi chapter 3. What are we reminded in Malachi chapter 3? What is the responsibility of the sheep who come into the fold week by week? What is our responsibility as we draw near to God? As we don't run away from God? As we don't turn aside from His commandments, but we indeed don't rob from Him? How? We bring the tithe, the contributions to the household of God, to the storehouse, to the visible church. I know many of us are inundated with appeals to give to good ministries that are para-church ministries. Why? Well, because sometime back in the past, we gave to one of them. And our name was sold, or our name was given, and now we're inundated. And there are a plethora of marvelous ministries that the people of God universally may support. But Malachi tells us the tithe, and in this case, that tenth off the top of the income that God gives, it belongs where? In the visible church. That's where our tithe goes. Why? Because herein is our salvation. God our Father, the church our mother. We are birthed as the gospel is granted to the visible church, and the visible church takes that gospel message from the pulpit through the hearers into the world. But it's here that our salvation rests, because it's here that we come and we are baptized as believers who have not yet been baptized, and we bring then our covenant children that they would be baptized, because here is where the people of God are who are making their way, that pilgrimage journey to heaven and the new earth at the coming of Jesus Christ. And we want to then bring to the household of faith our tithes and our offerings. And we have, when we have the Lord's Supper, alms. Why? Because we want to be a people of God who demonstrate mercy beyond our walls as well as within our walls. Because as we take the gospel out, we take the gospel mercifully. I understand that we live in a system where the welfare of the community is no longer a major responsibility of the church. But if we were living as the scriptures call us to live, what would the government be doing? They would make sure that the laws of God protect the guiltless and punish the guilty, period. And the welfare of the neighborhood would be dispensed from the storehouse where the food is, both physically and spiritually to the needs of the neighbor. But that's not where we are today. Now we have the state providing welfare, and so a part of our income check goes to the state to provide that welfare. And many of us are thankful for that because we have friends who are indeed rightly using that. That's a good thing. That's why we pray that our state comes to embrace Jesus Christ. So that when the government dispenses that welfare, they do it in the name of Jesus because they bowed their knee to Jesus, kissed the Son, His wrath to turn. But here we're talking about supporting shepherds. We support shepherds by bringing the tithe into the storehouse. Think about what masters our pocketbooks. Think about the idols in our lives to which we give money, 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 money. And at the end of the month, I wonder if I am able to make a contribution to the church. I'm thankful that for 19 years I've been well provided for and our family has. We are a congregation who supports our shepherds. And we're demonstrating that support, aren't we, by what we're doing there in the parsonage. We want to be sure that the shepherds that God gives us live in a place that demonstrates our gratitude for the labors of our shepherds in our midst. So that's the first P word, pay. I said the next two would be shorter, and they will be. The second is we're called to protect. We're called to protect our shepherds how? Verse 19 and verse 22a. Verse 19, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. And then do not be hasty in laying on of hands. Certainly Deuteronomy chapter 17:6 and Deuteronomy 19:15 are the basis for that first admonition. Do not admit a charge against an elder except the evidence of two or three witnesses. How important this is. How important this is. Elders are responsible. Shepherds are responsible to be among the sheep. And as they're among the sheep, what are they doing? They're trying to help the sheep eat from the green pastures. Help the sheep drink from the quiet waters, not and when the sheep are straying, what are they to do? They're to bring the sheep back into the fold. Now, let's face it. I struggle, and I'm sure many of you struggle. What do you do when someone comes to you and says, you know, you shouldn't be doing that? There are at least two things we fall prey to. One is, who do you think you are telling me to do this? I've seen you. Right? We try to find something wrong with them so we don't have to listen. And then in order to be sure we're okay to keep doing what we do, we go talk to other people about, well, do you know what that shepherd said to me? Don't you remember that shepherd did? How dare that shepherd say this to me? We often, don't we, seek to discredit the shepherd. When the shepherd comes and tries to bring us out of some, dare I say, habitual sin that we've been in and remained in, and they keep coming, and they keep coming, and they keep coming. And we construct all kinds of reasons why we don't want to listen to them, nor do we have to listen to them. So the Apostle Paul says, do not admit a charge against an elder except on the evidence of two or three witnesses. You see, when the shepherd comes, he doesn't come in his own voice. We should be able to recognize the voice of each of our shepherds. But we need to also recognize that when our shepherds come to us, they come with the voice of the Good Shepherd. They come with the voice of Jesus. The voice of Jesus who says, repent and believe. The voice of Jesus who says, come back to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. The voice of Jesus who says, if you confess your sins, I'll be faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you of unrighteousness. And isn't that what the shepherd is ultimately coming to us with when he sees us in our sin? He's reminding us of the voice of Jesus. Confess it. And you'll be forgiven. And you'll be cleansed. And it will go well with you. If you see a shepherd not behaving well, you go to talk to that shepherd. And if the shepherd doesn't listen, you take two with you and you say, why are you doing this? And then you come to the session. You talk to the session about what that shepherd has been doing that that shepherd ought not to do. Think of what it would have been like in those incidences where a shepherd seduced his secretary. If that secretary would have said to the shepherds, do you understand what this man is doing to me? And taken her husband with her when it started. So at the charge of two witnesses, perhaps that sin would have been nipped in the bud. The second way of protecting shepherds: don't be hasty in the laying on of hands. Now, yes, it's the elders, it's the presbytery who lays hands on. But on whom do they lay hands? On the men that the congregation calls to serve as elders. And Paul makes it very clear, do not call a novice, lest he be puffed up. And if you see a person in the congregation that you think ought to be an elder, be sure they're above reproach, not only within these walls, but out in the community as well. Don't call a person prematurely. Protect the shepherds. We're responsible to pay. We're responsible to protect. And finally, we're responsible to punish. Punish. As for those who persist in sin, rebuke them in the presence of all, so that the rest may stand in fear. And we do this, I trust, because we know shepherds will incur a greater judgment based on how they instruct the sheep and lead the sheep whenever one of the sheep falls into sin. But when one of the shepherds fall into sin, two must go and bear witness to make the charge. Elders are to be above reproach, both within and outside of the household of faith. And so, when a shepherd indeed persists in sin, it is the responsibility of the sin of that shepherd to be made public. Because that shepherd needs to be publicly punished so that the other shepherds will fear. I never wanted my mouth washed out again with soap. I feared being caught lying. Doesn't mean I stopped lying. But I feared being caught lying. I only stopped lying when the grace of God through Jesus Christ brought me to salvation in Christ, and I no longer was the liar that I used to be. Now when I lie, I cry out with Paul, oh, the good that I would do, I don't. And what I don't want to do, I do. Father, forgive me. Yes, again. Forgive me. Paul indeed addresses Timothy, and through him, the congregation of the people of God. We are to be supporting shepherds. We pay them. We protect them. Indeed, we punish them. And we punish them because, as Associate Pastor Matt preached some weeks ago from Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will have to give an account. You see why a healthy and growing congregation following the Lord's leading is about the business of supporting shepherds, so that we all together may hear the voice of the Good Shepherd. Well done, good and faithful servants. Enter into my rest. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you again for raising up John Owen, for enabling him to put together these rules for walking in fellowship. Thank you for his pointing us to this portion of this letter, Paul, to his son in the faith, Timothy. Thank you for reminding us again of the responsibility that we have as a flock of your sheep, caring for the shepherds that you've entrusted to us. Help us, Father, to continue to be good supporters of the shepherds you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.